Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word. Thank you for all the things that you're doing. Thank you for the testimonies we hear about the things that take place in other parts of the world through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, through your children, through your saints. We just praise you, God, and thank you. Thank you so much. You are good. You are good. And I just thank you for your ability right now on my life to be able to minister as I ought to say the things that you would have me to say in the way you would have me to say them. And I thank you that people are here, not because somebody forced them to be here, but people are here because they chose to be here. They wanted to be here. They have faith in their hearts towards you, Father God. And then I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit and your word, they will be spoken to today. They will be ministered to today. They'll be fed. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can take your Bible and open up to the book of Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And today, I'm going to talk about church. Amen. And something just to know over the years with me, when it would come to talking about church and exhorting people to be in church and encouraging people to fellowship in church. When I first got started in the ministry, I wasn't very bold at that. Because in my mind, my mixed up head at times, it was like, oh, I'm just getting people to come and to listen to me. And you know what? That's not it. That is not it. That is not it at all. You know, I surely hope your only reason for being here is not to listen to me. Because there's so many other reasons that are so much more important. And I thank God for the ministry that I have. I thank God that He called me into the fivefold ministry. I love what I do. I am totally grateful, and what I do matters, and it makes a difference, and it's important, and there's anointing, and I know all of that stuff and everything. I'm just getting bolder. Glory to God. How many of you know what the Apostle Paul asked people to pray for him in the book of Ephesians chapter 6? How many of you remember that prayer, what Paul, the Apostle Paul, asked people to pray for him for? Boldness. How many of you think the Apostle Paul is rather bold? Isn't it crazy the Apostle Paul is saying, please pray for me that I have boldness? How many of you know that boldness would get, well, it got Paul in a lot of trouble. How many of you think that boldness might get him in trouble today? Amen. I'm not half. I'm not even a fourth. I'm not even a tenth as bold as that guy was. I'm just looking for more boldness. I really am. I just want to be bold. And so I'm headed that way. Praise God. How about you? Turning, you know, and God put it on our hearts a couple weeks ago. Pray for boldness. You know, that we speak up when He gives us that little prompting, that little nudge, whether it's in the restaurant or the grocery store or Walmart or the garage, wherever it might be. We just speak up. Say what He's put in our heart to say to the person standing in front of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, with that, I'm getting more and more bold. And I want to look at something in this verse of Scripture. And I'm going to dig here a little bit. And then we'll just keep right on going. But Hosea 4, verse 6, it says this. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But now notice something in the next part. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priest for me. Catch the order of that. What does he say? He says, my people, his people, God's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many of you know it's good to get knowledge? But now notice the next verse. Notice it says, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being being priests for me. Who's the you in that part of that verse? Look a little closer. It's not you guys. It's me. Now, you can reject knowledge, but in here that is written, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. You know where that would fall today? It'd fall on me as a pastor. And I just think it's a terrible thing that sometimes ministers and pastors don't minister what God has for them to minister, because they have all kinds of reasons for not doing it. Maybe they think people might not like it. Maybe they think it's too strong of a word. Maybe they think it's too hard. Maybe it's not politically correct. Maybe it's not popular. Amen? How many of you know in today's world, if you start reading verses of Scripture where it talks about wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, that really doesn't fit in with the culture of America? How many of you know that just doesn't, it just doesn't. I got to do a wedding the other day. Dick, where are you at? I saw him here earlier. He went downstairs and Richard and Roberta, there we go. And Roberta picked out a passage of Scripture that really highlighted that part of it. And she just wanted that shared. And I thought, thank God for that. But you know, there's a lot of times when ministers will hold back. That is not good. Because what happens when a minister holds back and you don't get the knowledge, do you even get a choice whether to walk in it or not? It's kind of like the minister makes the choice for you. That's a terrible thing to do. Throw it out there and let people choose what they want to do. Give them the opportunity. So will you please pray for me that I get bold? And how many of you know, I do believe this, and I know it's true, it's right, it's true. We are getting closer and closer to the day that Jesus comes back. Amen. Amen. That's going to happen. I bet a large percentage of us believe that'll be in our lifetime. One of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be some tough times. The gospel isn't always going to be welcome. People aren't going to like it. And that's happening right now. That's beginning to take place. All the more reason to stay strong. So that's my goal. That's my goal, to stay strong. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the church. Turn and look at someone and say, church. Lord our God, we get to go to church today. We are the church. Amen. And as I share today, you're going to get me to share. I'm going to share some phrases. I'm just going to things from my heart. I'm going to share some phrases I like, some phrases I don't like. And so we'll get started with that right now. And one of the things that I don't like is this is not my church. Do you know a lot of people will refer to the church as Joel's church or the pastor's church by name? How many of you know that can be very, very damaging down the road? Because if that pastor moves on, and a new minister comes in, it makes it that much harder for the new minister to tap into that position of being the pastor of that church. It just makes it a lot harder because people keep associating the church with the previous pastor. And we've been here a long time. We've been here 27 years. I've been here 27 years. Thank God, praise God, love it. I'm blessed, amen. Hallelujah, but that's a long time. A lot of people could be saying, Joel's church. Turn and look at somebody and say, this is not Joel's church. And guess what else? It's not yours. Amen? We talked a little bit about ownership. About ownership. Did you know I do not own this church? Did you know you do not own this church? We don't. You know what we are? We're stewards. Here's another thing. Did you know that you're not a volunteer? See, that's a term I don't like because it lowers the expectation and the understanding of one who's called to be a steward, to be a servant. I'm not a volunteer. I'm called. How many of you know you're called? Amen. You're called. We're just going to dig in to some of this stuff today, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I'm just going to read it. You can write down the reference if you want. I got it here on my iPad. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said this. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Guess whose church it is? It's Jesus' church. Somebody look and say, it's Jesus' church. Amen? That's whose it is. He said, and I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, there's a lot of men that have built men churches. You know what the gates of Hades can do with that church? They can destroy it. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter 20, 28. Acts 20:28, and for those of you, if you go there, we might get to this verse later on today, but Acts chapter 20, 28, we might come back to some more verses here, but just listen to this. Acts 20:28. Paul's talking to the folks at Ephesus, and he says this: "Take heed to yourselves and to all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Starts to get a little heavy. Starts to get a little weighty when I think about that verse of Scripture. As a pastor, as a shepherd, and I read this verse of Scripture, and I realize the price that was paid for you, which he purchased with his own blood. Whew. What's that say about you? And this verse of Scripture will get me. He purchased you. He bought you. Anybody ever have anybody in your life that just irritate you? I'm so blessed as a pastor, I have never had a single person ever irritate me. If only that were true. But love is not irritable, so maybe the problem is mine. Okay, let's turn that around. I can get it. So, you ever had people you love make really bad choices and do damage to their own life and do damage to people's lives around them? I get to see that happen, and it breaks my heart. And one of the things I have to guard in my heart is getting irritated with them, getting ticked at them. Now, this isn't just me. How many of you have people like that in your life? And there's times you don't necessarily feel like praying for them. Come on now. But just think about this. Jesus shed his blood for them. I was going down Main Street last night, headed home, and I was thinking about a person that falls into this category. And I've been tempted to want to write them off just because of the poor choices that they've made. And this verse ran through me, and it's like, God, I can't do that, God. I pray for them right now. I pray for them right now in Jesus' name. Because they are a part of his church. He purchased them. He bought them with his blood. He paid a great price for them. Hallelujah. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You know, it just does me good to remember that. And it would do us all good to remember that he purchased each one of us with his own blood. He shed his blood for the whole world. All right. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Again, I got it here on my pad. So 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? Which you have from God." Now notice this, you are not your own. You have to look at someone and say, "I am not my own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I mean, I know these verses can be a little bit, make us think, and that's okay. How many of you know that's okay? You know, sometimes we think, mine, me, I. I'm not my own. See, this is what happened. I used to stand, and I'm just going to call it the auction block of sin. And I would stand on that block, and sin might come my way. And you know what I would say? I would say yes to sin. I'd say yes to all kinds of sin. So did you. But we did. We said yes to sin. We said yes to sin. And how many of you know the wages of sin is death? But there's also, how many of you know there's a verse of Scripture that says pleasures of sin? Pleasures of sin. How many of you know sin can be very pleasurable? Pleasures of sin. Anybody besides me ever have any pleasure in sinning? Where's he going with this? I know where I'm going. It's okay. But I mean, I did. I had fun sinning. Pleasures of sin. There was fun in it. But how many of you know I'm leaving a word off right before pleasures of sin? How many of you know what that word is that goes right before those? Passing. Pleasures of sin. And in my life, the pleasures of sin passed. They passed. And one day I realized, as I stood on that auction block of sin, and the wages of sin were coming my way, it was like, you know, this ain't as fun as it used to be. There's a lot of heartache and there's a lot of pain. And then I turned and I saw Jesus. So did you. And what did he say to you? Let me put it this way. He said, I'll buy you. I'll buy you. I'll pay. I'll pay for you. I want you. I'll pay for you. I'll pay for you. I paid for you. I shed my blood. I want you. I paid for you. I paid for you. And then what'd we do? You know what we did? We said, I accept. I receive. You purchased me. You purchased me. And then I know what we did. We made a choice to go connect ourselves with him. We said yes to him. We said yes to the price. We said, yep, you purchased me. And you know what? This verse of scripture again. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Some of you might have a marker there because I made reference to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. But I want to back up and I want to see if this is correct. Acts chapter 20. I'm just going to start reading at verse 20. Acts 20, 20. How many of you said yes to Jesus? How many of you said yes to the price that he paid? How many of you could sit in here today and say, I am not my own? How many of you could sit in here and say, I'm not in charge? Do you know what? I really hope and desire that I'm not in charge of this church. Now, I'm a steward and I'm a shepherd. But I'm not in charge. You better pray I'm not in charge. Because if I'm in charge, things will go south quick. I don't want to be in charge, but I want to be submitted to the one who is in charge. I want to be submitted to the one who is the head of the church, and on this rock he is building his church. Amen. I want him to be in charge. Now, I'm going to be responsible and do my job and walk in the calling that he's given me. Hallelujah. I'm going to do that. But I want to hit this. We all made a decision and volunteered to say yes to Jesus. Did anybody make you? Did anybody force you? You freely did that. So, Acts 20, 20. Paul says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. He did it both. He did it publicly and house to house. He was going into people's homes and teaching them, and he was also ministering to people publicly, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit. This is the verse I wanted to dig in a little bit. And now I go bound in the Spirit. When you look at that verse 22 and you see the S on that first Spirit, what is it? Is it a big S or a little S? Some of you got a big S and some of you got a little S in that first Spirit. You know what I got in my Bible? I got a little S right there. I go bound in Spirit. Now, if you read farther on, you're going to find a capital S. Verse 22. And see, now I go bound in Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. I just want to share this thought with you. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul made a choice to bind himself to the will and the plan of God, no matter what. David and I were talking about this the other day, and having been to Bible school, and I know when I was at Rhema and stuff, and you hear these great stories, and Lissy, you probably have heard some of these and everything, and I can jump on part of your testimony there. But, you know, a lot of people will say yes to crowds of people, yes to laying hands on the sick and them getting well, and yes to the spectacular, and yes to all these things. But how many people will say yes to the things that nobody notices? You know, when I said yes to everything. I said yes to everything. Yes, God. Yes, whatever it is. Yes. Turn and look at someone and say yes. So, Lissy, you said yes to taking cold showers. You said yes to eating bad food. Did you realize that? Oh, that's what you were saying yes to? Maybe sometimes we don't realize what we're saying yes to.
I did not.
You did not know. I think sometimes God sets us up and he sets these big, wonderful things out here, you know, and it's like, yes, 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 we're so excited about it. But then along the way, oh, this is part of that? I didn't sign up for this. Oh, yeah, you did. I signed up for it. I signed up for all of it. I signed up. How many of you signed up for all of it? No matter what it is, you said yes. No matter what it is that he asked you to do, you said yes. You know, and we got a classic example in the scripture where that yes sometimes becomes a real wrestling match. And I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. God, if there's another way to get the job done, can we do that? But you know what? There wasn't another way to get it done. Guy Dunnick, a dear friend of mine, he made this statement. He was talking about Paul. How many of you noticed the Apostle Paul went through a lot? I mean, he went through a lot. We could flip over to Corinthians and start reading all that he went through. And Guy asked this question one time. Why? Why did the Apostle Paul go through all of that? And I really liked his answer, because that is what was required for God to get done what God wanted to get done. And the Apostle Paul was willing and said yes. Yeah, you can stone me to death. Yeah, you can beat my back. You can whip me. He said yes. You know, I don't know, babe, is that my phone buzzing? Will you deal with it so I don't have to, please? It's over there somewhere. Thank you, sweetheart. It's on silent, but it's still vibrating. And everybody's focusing over here. Did you get that yet, my love? Hallelujah. All right. Yes. Yes. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit. Verse 22. See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Did Paul know what was coming? Did he know what was ahead of him? Yeah, he knew it was going to be tough. But you know what he had already done? He had already bound himself. He had already taken his spirit and bound himself to the will of God. Hallelujah. And then I like this. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which the Lord has set before me. Sweetie, would you turn the air conditioner back on, please? Is it getting hot in here, or is it just me? I'm on fire! Babe, they said it's just me. I'm the only one. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But none of these things move me. I knew this was going to happen yesterday when I was putting this sermon together. You know what I knew was going to happen? I was going to get to this point in my sermon, and the clock was going to be about there, and I was going to be wondering, do I have another hour of these folks' time? That's what I was wondering. Do I have another hour? Because where I want to go, and all of these first parts build into that. Because when we're talking about the church is who? You. That's the church, is you. And how many of us know there's only one who owns us? The one who shed his blood. The one who paid his price. We don't own each other, guys. We don't own each other. But you know what? We're all called to be stewards. We're called to be stewards. And I can go to this verse of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. Did you know that each and every one of us is called to be a steward? And when you think about this being a steward, think about we're supposed to be stewards to each other. Just look around a little bit. Just go ahead and take a moment and look around in this building. Look around at the different people. See some different people. See some different faces. Look at those people. And you know what? They were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. How does God feel about them? Amen. And we all said yes. Didn't we? How many of us said yes? We said yes to the price that was paid. We said yes to Jesus. And how many of us are saying yes to everything that comes with inside that calling? Can we try that again? Because I didn't see a hand go up in the room. I saw a lot of heads nodding, but let me just try that one again. How many of us said yes to everything that goes with that calling in Jesus? Okay, okay, that's a lot better. I'm liking that a whole lot better. And how many of us know sometimes that yes won't be so fun? Hey, man, I remember when I said yes and went to Bible school, and you know what the second job was that I got? Or was it the first job? It was the first job. You know what my first job was in going to Bible school? I was an orderly in a nursing home. Now, for some of you, that's like, okay. But for me, I had worked on the mountain. I had worked in the woods logging. I worked outside my whole life. I liked working on cars and mechanical stuff. But to be an orderly in a nursing home, and they gave me 5 cents more an hour, I was getting like $5.65 an hour. Woohoo! To be an orderly. I had no clue what it meant to be an orderly. I didn't like Thursday evenings. You want to know why I didn't like Thursday evenings? Guess what they gave all the residents on Thursday? Laxative. I tell you what, it was a challenge for me. But you know what? I said yes. And that's part of what it took to keep moving forward. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and said, I said yes. Say it with conviction. Because I tell you what, that yes that you say now sitting here when everything's pretty easy is going to be really important somewhere down the road, because the pressure to say no is going to be there, and it's going to be there strong. I was listening to a CBN over in Nigeria, and Christians are being persecuted like crazy, stuff that's going on there, and some of these refugee camps where they're at. And this one guy's telling about his dad. And what they want him to do is to deny Christ. And they cut off his hand when he won't. So they give him another chance to deny Christ, and he won't. So they cut off his arm at his elbow. They start cutting him up alive. But he said yes. And he wasn't backing off of that yes. We got it pretty nice here, don't we? Yeah. We got it pretty nice here. I want to make sure I stick with my yes. That I stay in there. After they cut his arm off at his elbow, they figured out, well, this guy ain't going to say no to Christ. They shot and killed him. Now he's in heaven. I like what this one missionary said to a guy. This guy pulled a gun on him and he goes, you're threatening me with heaven? The guy didn't know how to respond to that. You shouldn't kill me. I'm going to heaven. That's what you're threatening me with. But anyway, I like the guy's attitude and outlook on things. But here we are in 1 Peter chapter 4. Have I said anything about closing yet? That's good, because I'm not even thinking about it. That's not true. I am too. 1 Peter. I hope I said that the first time. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm just going to pull two things out of this verse of Scripture, maybe three. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As each one has received a gift. How many of you know that you have received a gift? And don't make it too hard. I don't know what my gift is. Just start loving on people. Just start serving people. Just start, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, and you know what will happen? You'll find out. You'll step into your gift pretty easy. I had no idea. When I said yes to Jesus and I knew I was called into the ministry, you know what I thought I was going to be? An evangelist. And the reason I thought I was going to be an evangelist is because I just had this burning desire to go. I quit my job. I had two children at that time. I quit my job because I had to go out and share the gospel with people. And I was going. I was going. And when I wasn't out sharing the gospel with people, I'd be praying in the Spirit for about 8 hours a day. I was after it. I said yes. I said yes. And because I would go all of the time when I was sitting in church one day and we were talking about things, and somebody there said, well, oh, Joel's an evangelist. Being young and not really grounded and mature in my faith yet, I went, I'm an evangelist. I just took that and I ran with it. But as I pursued God and as I continued to say yes and keep walking with God, guess what I found out? I found out I wasn't an evangelist. I found out I was a pastor. It took 2 years of Rhema, but I found out I was a pastor. It just came to my heart. Why did I share that story? Just go. Start going forward. Start saying yes. Start getting involved. Start getting engaged. And you'll be amazed what you discover along the way. I like to say this, God will let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. And now, that's a great statement. And there's a lot of truth in that. And I want you to think about it, because what it'll do, it'll take a lot of pressure off. It'll take, and it also is a, it speaks to trust. God, I trust you. I believe, God, that you will let me know what I need to know when I need to know it. Peace. Praise God. Peace in that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. Do what? Minister it to one another. See, you're more than just a volunteer. You're gifted by God with a ministry. With a ministry to minister to one another. Minister to one another, now watch this, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to read the definition of the word steward. The word originally referred to the manager of a household or an estate. How many of you can picture a show? Maybe in today's world we might think of the butler, you know, but the manager of an estate. An estate, the manager of a household. You know, that manager, what does he look like he is? He in charge. He's got a lot of say-so, a lot of authority, doesn't he? But does he own it? He doesn't own it. But he's got a lot of responsibility. He's a steward. Amen? How many stewards do we have in here? I'm hoping everybody raises a hand. Because we're all stewards. We're all stewards. A steward, the word originally referred to the manager of a household or estate, and then in a broader sense denoted an administrator or steward in general. In 1 Corinthians 4:1 and in Titus 1:7, it refers to Christian ministers. But in 1 Peter 4:10, it denotes Christians in general, using the gifts entrusted to them by the Lord to strengthen and encouragement of fellow believers. I'm not just a volunteer. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm not just a volunteer. You know what? You've been called and gifted by God to be a steward. And now think about this a little bit. I want to dig into this. As good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. Manifold grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. We're supposed to be good stewards of what? God's grace. Think about that for a little bit. What is God's grace? What is God's grace? And then think about this. If we don't say yes to what He's called us to do, does God's grace get to travel through us like He wants it to? And what happens if I got somebody that I'm irritated with, and I got somebody I'm ticked off with, I got somebody I'm mad at, and I make a judgment call, and I want to write them off, and then I decide they aren't deserving? Wow. We can hold up and stop the grace of God from getting to people. How many of you know it's really important for us to step into what God has for us to do? And you know what I see as a pastor? I'm just going to keep going. I actually, as a pastor, watch people step back from their graces. I watch them step back. You want to know something that happens when you step into the things you're graced to do and into those gifts? Everybody's going to love it all the time, and everybody's going to be happy all the time, and everything you do will please everybody every time. No. You know what? People are going to criticize you. People are going to find fault with you. People are going to talk about you. Do not let that stop you. Do not let that back you up. Keep going. Keep going. Amen. I want to stop there. How many of you, when you leave this earth, and we're all leaving this earth, are going to heaven? You know that you're heaven bound when you leave this earth. And this is, for me, is like one of the most important questions I'm going to ask today. It's right there. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know Him as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Worship team will come on up. I'm just going to end the service a little bit different here this morning. I'm not going to invite people to come up for prayer. I want to do something a little different. And is it ending a little bit heavy here today, a little bit weighty here today, a little bit thought? Are we saying yes? I want to do this. I just want, and then if you'll just start playing soft. I don't know what kind of song you got. I hope it's slow and soft. If it's rowdy and fast, please change it. It isn't rowdy and fast. It's softer and quieter. I'd love to just have us take a moment and think about dedication. 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 Dedication to what? Dedication to the Lord. Dedication to what He's called you to do. Dedication to those gifts. Dedication to the people around you. Maybe you might even have to think about somebody that you've been tempted to write off. Maybe pray for them right now. Pray for them right now. Why? Because they were purchased with the blood of Jesus. And we have a responsibility and an obligation to minister to them. A couple of things during this time right now. Yeah, I'm dedicating myself. I'm saying yes again. I'm saying yes again to whatever comes. To whatever comes, God. I don't say yes to just the big things. I don't say yes just to the exciting things. I say yes to everything. I say yes to the little things that nobody sees but You. Heavenly Father, as we just take this time right now and we bring this service to an end, the church doesn't close. But we bring this service to an end, God. This time of ministering Your word, it went different. Different than I thought it was going to, God. But I do believe that You've been directing me. Hallelujah. And Father, I know that walking with You is the best place in the world to be. That is the best place in the world to be. But I also know, Father, that there's a lot of things that'll come against us and try to get us off track. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I know that chains and tribulations await me, but none of these things move me. He wouldn't let those things get him off track. He wouldn't even let the fact that nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my race with joy. Father, as we stand here today, my prayer is for each and every person here. We've said yes. We've said yes to anything and everything you have for us to do. And then when things try to get us off track, try to push us to the side, try to get us to change our minds. We said yes. We said yes to the big things, and we said yes to the little things. And Father, in that, there's a commitment to being stewards. To being stewards. To edifying and building up the people around us. To be those servants of yours that your grace flows through, and we exhort and encourage the people around us. Hallelujah. Do me a favor. Just would you just bow your head and just pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in your understanding. And ask God to speak to your heart. You talk to Him. You talk to Him about your life, about what you're doing and what He has for you. And as you are talking to Him, if there is somebody in your life that you just need to say, God bless them. God bless them. God bless them. God, change my heart. Change my attitude towards that person, Father. Help me. Help me see them the way you see them. Help me love them the way you love them. Help me realize that you purchased them and bought them with your blood. Help me to let your grace and your mercy flow through me for them. Father, I thank you that you mean business. And so do we. So do we. We mean business with you. It matters. It matters. And Father, I thank you that in serving you, there's a grace. There's an anointing. And when things get heavy, Jesus said that when we take His yoke upon us, the yoke is easy and the burden light. The enemy would try to make us think it's so hard all the time, but the truth is, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite, because God, we get to walk in your strength. We get to walk in your grace. And may your joy just bubble up and overwhelm on the inside of us as we minister, as we give to others. Father, I thank you and I praise you, give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, church doesn't end, but the service does. And we have a time of fellowship downstairs for all of those of you who can. And I have an exhortation.